So we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious, not only to the one who speak, but to those who hear. And how you show your grace, your power to your faithful servant Paul, because you are impartial God, you do not show favoritism. As we come before you this morning, just like what he said, we approach you with freedom and confidence. We ask that you bless us today. Open our ear that we can hear. Hear the wonderful thing that's written in the third chapter of Ephesians. And help us to hide that within our heart so that we put it into practice. We be blessed all the days of our life, not only in the present life and also in the life to come. Hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. I pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned it. I want to impress within your heart. In chapter 1, we see that salvation is by grace, through faith, and with power. So I want you to write that down. In the first chapter, you write that down. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, talk about salvation is by grace, through faith, and with power. And now, I want you to write that down in chapter 3. You write that down, being able to serve God, have a service in our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, is also by grace, through faith, with power. That power, mentioned it 4 times. 2:7, 18, 16, 18, and 20. Now I'm talking about put emphasis in power. The title is Grace Upon Grace. You come to the church, you not only receive salvation by grace, through faith, with the mighty power of our Lord God Almighty. Okay? Now, after you are saved, God wants you to serve him. And God going to give you a ministry so that you can come to the church, you find a place, you can serve God. Just like in the 4 Gospels, all God's children has to enter into the vineyard. The church is the vineyard so that you can serve God. If you don't serve God, that means you have no faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You have no grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have no power. If you really understand the parable that's written in the 4 Gospels, you realize that those people who refuse to serve God, refuse to bear fruit, just like a tree will be cut down, and they will suffer a lot of pain. Brother and sister, this sermon in chapter 3 is to spare you from suffering unnecessary pain. If we are willing to serve God, that proves that your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is genuine. It's not counterfeit. And you serve God with attitude, with gratitude. Not with attitude, you know. Serve God with attitude. With a wrong attitude, he's going to cut you off, okay? With gratitude. And Okay, now I'm going to put emphasis on the word of power. I read that to you. Paul said that, I became a servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace. Without service, without being a servant, you lost the gifts of God's grace given to you through the working of his power. Right beside the working of his power, you write down Acts chapter 9. God using his mighty power to demonstrate to Saul that he is persecuting Jesus Christ when he persecuted the church in Damascus. Saul is the one who persecuted the church in Jerusalem, and he thinks it's not good enough. He goes to Damascus to persecute Christians, to persecute the saints. And God demonstrated his mighty power shine upon him and cause his eye to be blinded for 3 days. And then he prayed to God. He realized he is the one who sins against God. Father and sister, salvation by grace through faith with mighty power. God demonstrated to him, I am the light of the world. You persecute the church, you persecute me, and then cause his eye to be blinded. And then through his prayer, he see a vision. He see Ananias will lay hand on him, and he will his sight will be restored. And then his life was changed. Without this mighty power, Saul will not will have a new name called Paul. And that's why he said that in chapter 3 in Ephesians, for this reason, I kneel, I bow down before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derived his name. Paul's name used to be called Saul. Saul has a similar meaning of Samuel. It's prayer. Pray to God. And then God changed his name. He became Paul. Because he's a proud and arrogant man, make him little, small. If you are arrogant in God's sight, he can make you be small. And when you become small, be little, then you think, why is like that? Because he wants to change your life. Before you don't serve him, now he served God faithfully. And that's why he's saying, I become the servant of this gospel by the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Through the working of his power. When God demonstrates his power in you, before you don't serve him, now you're going to serve him. And you're going to serve him faithfully. Right beside his power, you write down 3:16, 3:18 and 3:20. I read that to you. If you are faithful servants of God, whatever you receive from God, you tell all other saints, this is the kind of stuff I receive, and you can receive it too. Because God is an impartial God. He does not show favoritism. He's going to reward each person according to Romans chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 6. He's going to reward each person according to what he has done. If you follow the very footstep of Paul, you will receive the same kind of blessing. He received God's gifts. He received the gifts of God's grace. I also want you to mention that
when you receive God's gifts, or receive the gifts of God's grace, it's not for yourself. Right beside the gifts of God's grace, circle that word. You write down 3:1, 3:2, and 3:13. Go to 3:1 first. Ephesians 3:1. You receive the gifts of God's grace for a reason. It's for the sake of you Gentile. Not for your own, for other people. Brother and sister, listen to me very carefully. When you receive the gifts of God's grace, you enjoy your life with it, God's going to take it back. I want you to know one thing. Whatever God gives it to you is for other people. Okay? For the sake of you Gentile. Secondly, what did I say? I say, you write that down. 3:2. Circle the word. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace. That's the gifts of God's grace that was given to me. For you, circle the word. For you Gentile, make sure when you receive blessing, favor, honor, you have to ask God, why do you give it to me? Paul knew that. Okay? He knew that. That's for the Gentile. I want you to write that down, 3:1, 3:2. And then you write down 3:13. Ephesians 3:13. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you. Suffering for you, which are your glory. If Paul did not suffer, locked up in the prison, he will not be able to receive the revelation from the Holy Spirit, revelation from God the Father, revelation from Jesus Christ, and he is impotent to serve God. He has no power to serve God. He cannot make known God's plan to the Gentile. I want to impress your heart. Do not be ignorant, thinking that, wow, I get that kind of blessing. I'm going to plan my trip to go here, to go there, enjoy my life. You can keep doing it. When he cut it off, you're going to cry like a baby. Okay? Do not be ignorant. Okay? Be wise. And understand. Paul fully understands the will of the Lord. You give me the gifts of God's grace. The God's grace was given to me, not for myself, but for you. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down. 3:1, 3:2, 3:13. And you also write down what's Peter teaching. Okay? If this teaching is so important, and another apostle to the Jews, will write the same thing. If you don't know that, by the time you lost your blessing, then you don't even know why. I read that to you. Chapter 1, verse Peter, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophet, mean the Old Testament servant, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, search intensely and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. It was revealed to them, circle the word them, and connect that to verse 10, the prophet. It was revealed to the prophets that they were not serving themselves, circle the word, but you. But you, brother and sister, but you, the reason why the prophets can understand the scripture and write the Old Testament is for you, not for their own. Oh, I want to study the scripture, so that to prove it to the whole world, I have the insight, I have this and I have that. For your own glory? No. But for you, for the Jews, listen to me carefully. Peter was called to be the minister to the Jews. And Paul was called to be the minister to the Gentiles. And they know the reason why they receive God's gift is for you. So in other words, if God brings favor, show his favor to me, allow me to understand God's gift, allow me to understand God's insight, it's not for me, but for you, for the Apostolic Bible Church of Alberta. Not only in Edmonton, but in New York, not only in New York, but also in China. I want that to be impressed in your heart so that you don't lose God's grace. I want you to receive one blessing after another. Everybody say? You have to realize the thing that he gave it to you is not for yourself. It's for other people. Because he wants you to get higher blessing. Don't be ignorant. Don't be a fool. And you write that down, Book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, as Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When we realize that I get this blessing, it's for you, then I owe it to you. I got to give it to you. Or else, I won't get any blessing. Does it make sense? I hope that is impressed upon your heart. Whatever the blessing that you receive is for other people. Then God take you to a higher ground, give you a higher blessing. Everybody say, turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 35, as Jesus said. I'm not saying I'm what I'm saying. I'm saying what Jesus is saying. Remembering the word of our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I want you to write that down right beside here. Okay? You write down 3:7, Ephesians. I'm sorry, 3:1, 3:2, and 3:13. Okay? I want also you to know, 3:13, okay? 3:1, 3:2, 3:13 is for other people. In the same way, when God give power, in 3:7, God give power to the servant, Paul. Not just for himself. You know what Peter say? It was revealed to the prophets that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they speak of the things that has now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then the Bible say, even angels long to look into this matter. Long to look into these things. If the message is important, God will use Paul to mention it,
And later on, we use Peter to mention it. One is apostle to the Jews. One is apostle to the Gentiles. That means cover the whole thing. Paul is a faithful man. He received power. And he wants you to receive power too. So, right beside 3:7, the gifts of God's grace given me through the working of his power. When he received this kind of power, he wants you, the Gentile, to receive the same kind of power. You write that down, that power, you write down 3:16. Pray for that power. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's not good enough for Paul to receive power unless you, the audience, also receive the same kind of power. Is this good stuff? Is this good stuff? Keep going. He prayed for that power. How did he pray? Verse 14, I kneel before the Father. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Why would he pray for the power to the saint in Ephesus? I want you to go back. Has to have a reason. Go back to 3:8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me. Two things, two reasons why this grace was given Paul. Number one, to preach to the Gentile. Number two, in verse 9, to make plain to everyone. When God gives you grace, he wants you to preach to the Gentile because he is the apostle to the Gentile. And when you preach, he wants you to make plain everything so that everybody understands what you're talking about, so that he's not speaking a foreign language to the one that who hear and do not understand. To preach what? To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Circle that word. Unsearchable riches of Christ. That is 3:6. The mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? I wanted to change that arrangement of the word. 3:6. Turn to 3:6. I want to take out this word in Christ Jesus and put it in here, right after the Gentile. I read that to you. This mystery, what is that mystery? Right beside 3:6, this mystery, you write that down, 3:4. That's the mystery of Christ. Because Paul said that. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? I read that to you. This mystery, you circle the word, that's the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is that through the gospel, the Gentile in Christ Jesus. If the Gentile is not in Christ Jesus, he gets nothing. Apart from Christ,
you have no good things. The Chinese translation is very, very clear. The Gentile in Christ Jesus. Not all Gentiles get that. Only the Gentile in Christ Jesus. I read that one more time. The mystery of Christ is that through the gospel, the Gentile in Christ Jesus are heirs together with Israel. They are members together of one body. That's the body of Jesus Christ, the church. You are the member of the church and the sharer together in the promise. Whatever the promise in the Old Testament, whatever the promise in the New Testament, you get them all. Otherwise, we Gentiles in Christ, there's no point to read the Old Testament. Because all this blessing is to King David, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But because the Gentile in Christ Jesus, I share in all kinds of promises, whatever is written both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Does it make sense? Paul received the gifts of God's grace, received revelation through the Holy Spirit, so that he understand the mystery of Christ and write out, and he preached about that. He make plain about that so that everybody, every Gentile in Christ Jesus understood. Is it good? He's a very good servant, right? So I keep going. The reason why this grace was given to Paul, two reasons. To preach to the Gentile, because you owe it to the Gentile. Because you get blessing for the Gentile. And then Peter say, the prophet, the preacher, they owe it to the Jews. For you, not for themselves, right? That's good. Then you owe it to the Jews. You got to preach to the Jews. Make plain to the Jews. Right? Keep going. To preach about what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ is the mystery of Christ. You write down 3:16. To preach about that. Secondly, to make plain this mystery, right beside make plain, you write down Proverbs chapter 25. The Bible say, verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of king. You write beside Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. You write down Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Let me give you a mystery. It is the glory of God to conceal the matter. Only he knows, you don't know. That is God's glory. But it is the glory of kings, not singular, plural, to reveal the matter, make clear the matter, make plain to the matter. You know what? I want you to write that down, because he can make it plain. He's qualified to receive the kingship. Right beside Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. Right beside chapter 25, verse 2, to search out a matter is the glory of king. You write that down. King Paul and King Peter. King Paul, you write down 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. He knows that he's going to receive the kingship. Because Jesus Christ is the judge of righteousness. And he will receive the crown of righteousness. If he can make plain the gospel, when he preaches clearly, target to the Gentile, and to make plain to all Gentiles, so that they know what they're going to receive. He's going to become king. Now he's a servant. I become servant of the gospel. In the future, he become king because he searched out the matter. He make plain the mystery of God. You being foolish and don't study the scripture, you lost them all. Does it make sense? Am I making out of nothing? Or am I explaining the scripture to you? Hello? Hannah? Do I make plain to you? To search out the matter is the glory of kings. Do you want to be king? So study the scripture. Check it out to see whether Pastor John is making out something that is not there. Write down King Peter. You write down 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter encouraged the elder to minister to his people faithfully. Then you will receive the crown of glory. Paul said that I will receive the crown of righteousness. And Peter said, I will receive the crown of glory. You understand? If you receive the crown, if you're not king, how can you receive a crown, you know? For you to receive a crown, that means you are king, okay? Because he searched out the matter, okay? And Peter said, what I'm writing is same as what Paul is writing. They make plain. Peter make plain to the Jews, and Paul make plain to the Gentiles. They are faithful servants. They are called to do the task. Okay? And they are king, their kingship. Okay? Keep going. To make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. The administration of this mystery is 3:6. Is the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is that through the gospel, the Gentile in Christ Jesus are heir together with Israel, member together of one body, sharer together in the promise. Make plain to everyone. All those people who hear will understand. This mystery in verse 9, for ages past, was kept hidden in God. Kept hidden in God. You write down Proverbs 25:2. That's the glory of God the Father. He concealed the matter. To make plain the matter is the glory of King. Who is God? God is the creator who created all things. What is his intention? Why would he call Paul to preach to the Gentile? Why would he call Paul to make plain to everyone? Everyone, okay? Why? There's a reason for that in verse 10. His intent, his purpose was that now, circle the word now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. That means he passed the baton to the church. Do you understand? Do you understand why he prayed? Why he prayed for the church? He prayed that I receive the power, you receive the same power, because you're going to do a great task to make known the manifold wisdom of God through the church. I want you to write that down, through the church, and then circle something. Circle the word through the church. In Paul's time, 2,000 years ago, the church of God, the church of Christ, has already established, right? You say, wow, Pastor John, the church 2,000 years ago make known the manifold wisdom of God already. That means I don't have to do anything. If you say things like that, you are lazy guy, you are sluggard. Okay? Don't say that. I want to circle a few words so that you can understand. Chapter 3, verse 21. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Circle the word. Throughout all generations, forever and ever. I don't know whether you understand this writing or not. I read that one more time. To God be the glory in the church. Not only in the church 2,000 years ago. Also in the church right now. That church, I heard loud and clear, speaking to Apostolic Bible Church. Because it says throughout all generations. They done their work 2,000 years ago. Now it is up to you and me to do the job. Paul has a good insight in the mystery of Christ. Now he preached to you. He made known to you. Now it is your task to carry on the baton and to finish the task in your generation. Because to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Through the church. Through Jesus Christ. Throughout all generations, forever and ever. 2,000 years ago, Paul make it very clear. All those people who listen to his sermon understand. But I don't know whether Apostolic Bible Church understands. I don't know. I hope you understand. The more you preach, the more you make known to other people, the higher insight you have in the mystery of Christ. Do we need to study God's Word? Ada, do we need to study God's Word? Do not be ignorant. I read that one more time. There's a reason why Paul was called to preach to the Gentile, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Number one. Number two, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. It was not known in the past, but now it's known. You carry the baton. You tell other people. You save your family member. Listen to me carefully. The mystery of Christ is that the Gentile in Christ Jesus, through the gospel, if you're not preaching the word of God, they don't know that. They're heir together with Israel, they don't know that. They're member together of the one body, the member of the church, they don't know that. They don't know that they're sharing the promise. They don't know that. They still think that I read the Old Testament. It's in vain because it's not talking to me. No, he's talking to you. You got to pass it on. Do you know what? A lot of Baptist churches, they say we are New Testament Christians. We don't read the Old Testament. He's foolish. Like people, like pastor. If the congregation is foolish, the pastor is the foolish one. Don't let it happen. It was hidden in ages past, but now it has been revealed. Right? Don't tell me you don't know that. Make sure we read the scripture, do our task, carry the baton, and run the race, fight the good fight, and keep the faith. When we kept the faith, kept the grace, kept the gifts, it come with power. Does it make sense? Don't just have the power for yourself to enjoy your life. Have that power to pass it on, tell other people. You can get the same power too. Ron? Roy, do you know how long we have been praying for you? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, I heard in the prayer meeting, you can get back to the old job, although part-time. Yeah. When the Lord restore, like Psalm 126, when the Lord restore your fortune, that is your help. You are like a man who dreams. And the nation will say, the Lord has done great thing in him. Because a lot of people in our church pray for you, you don't even realize. The Lord has done great thing for you. He showed his mighty power in you. And you can tell other people, could be in you too. I'm not making up a story. I'm telling you what the Bible is saying. Okay, keep going. You know why Paul, in verse 16, 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, because you have a great task, a great commission to do. His intent in verse 10, his intent was that now, not 2,000 years ago, now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. Father and sister, if you make known, you make plain to the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm, you can become king too. According to Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 2. To search out the matter is the glory of kings. I want to be kings. Because he wants me to be kings. He wants his preacher to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, the mystery of Christ, and to make plain to everyone. And I'm going to make plain to everyone. I'm going to make known, you know who are they? Who are the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm? The ruler and authority in the heavenly realm is the fallen angel. You write that down according to Peter's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The last statement, evil angel or holy angel, they long to look into this matter because they don't know. They don't know. So you got to make known to them. It is the church job throughout all generation. Not only 2,000 years ago, the church has to do it. 2,000 years later, the apostolic Bible church has to do it. and who are the ruler and authority of the heavenly realm? You write that down. Chapter 2, 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world. And you followed the way of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Who are they? They are the spirit. That spirit is evil spirit. The evil spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Make known to all the evil spirit the manifold wisdom of Jesus Christ, the manifold wisdom of God. That's why when you say that, that means you're declaring to make war against them. That's why in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Circle the word in his mighty power. That's why Paul prayed for the mighty power bestowed upon the saints in the churches. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the evil, against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, against the ruler, against the authority, against the power of this dark, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. When we make known to them, we declare war with them. We put on the full armor of God, we're going to fight with them. We're going to win the battle. You write that down, how we're going to win the battle. Write down Revelation chapter 19. The battle is won by Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19. Make known to them, my Jesus is almighty. You stand by his side, you're going to win the war. And also write that down, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18 all the way to 23. I pray also that the eyes of your eyes may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. And that power is far above all rule and authority. Don't be afraid of them. We're going to win the battle. Everybody say? That's why you have to be in Christ. In Christ. Fight that battle. Okay? That power is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet, upon Jesus Christ to be the head over everything for the church. For the church, not for himself. For the church, so that the church can fight the good fight. Circle the word for the church. You write that down. Chapter 3, verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm. And that is not made up by Paul. That is according to God's eternal purpose, which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. My Father is always at work to this day. Jesus said, I am at work too. 5:17, Gospel of John. And then 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, the work that I do, those who have faith in me and do a greater work than this, because I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to empower you with power. I'm going to empower you to fight the good fight and win the battle. Everybody say, you're not excited as me. I say, everybody say, we have to do that. If you don't even want to say that, how can you do it? That's a great battle. I tell you one thing, okay? When you do that, King David, when he become king, foreign king, give him the material, give him the labor, craftsman, stone maker, to build his temple, to build his palace. And then he say, "Wow, God, you move other people to build my house. I want to build your house. You make plain the word of God to those who hear so that they know they have to do it. We have to do it, right? Starting within your house. Your wife, your husband, your father, your mother, your children. Save them first. All right? And then your friends. And then faraway places. Okay? But the thing is, all you know is worldly stuff. When you talk to your friends, only worldly stuff. That doesn't save people's life. You are not make known the manifold wisdom of God. I say that one more time in verse 10 and verse 11. His intent, his purpose, his will was that now, through the church of this generation, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the ruler and authority in the heavenly realm, according to God's eternal purpose, which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God done his work, and Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." He has done his work. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. 4:34, Gospel of John. He finished it. And now, and I see that 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. I have fought a good fight. I have run a good race. And I have kept my faith. The crown of righteousness, my Lord Jesus is going to give it to me. He says, not only give it to me. You know why he says, not only give it to me? Because he wants you to make known the plans of God too, to other people. You understand? If you do that, you are the wise virgin, you do it, you take up the task, you say, it is me to do it, I do it, you got it. Listen to me carefully, don't deceive yourself. If you cannot preach to your own children, you cannot preach to other people. They don't buy it, they don't believe in you. If your children, if your mother, if your father don't even believe in you, how can outsiders believe in you? If you have no courage to preach to your own kinsmen, you don't even love your own kinsmen, how can you love outsiders? You understand? Don't deceive ourselves. Our life needed to be changed. After his prayer in chapter 3, in chapter 4, he said, live a life worthy of your calling. Okay? I want to stop here. I haven't even finished it. It is so rich when the unfolding of God's word gives light. I want that light shine within your heart so that you know you got to pray for the power. When you pray for the power, you're going to receive it. Not only now, you receive blessing in the future because you're doing God's will. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of my Father who sent me will enter the kingdom of God. You enter not with a little bit of blessing. You enter
with rich blessing. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for Paul and Peter write down the mystery of Christ and preach to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and make plain to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and help us to understand we have to do our task, not to be a sluggard. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.